response. He said this is what we're giving the leadership to give.
We have a blue light.
Me either.
Thank you all for being here. I will open this meeting of the House Veterans and Emergency Services Committee for Tuesday, May 26, 2009. I'm to the point where I have to check my agenda to find out what the date is. I apologize for that. And also the delay in getting started. We have been scheduled back-to-back in so many things that it's difficult for everybody to be everywhere they're supposed to be on time. That being said, I will open a public hearing and possible work session on SCR 12, SCR 13, and SCR 14. Wow, that was fun. Mr. Molina.
Madam Chair, thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Concurrent Resolution 12, 13, and 14, respectively. 12 memorializes the life of Woodburn Police Captain Thomas Paul Tennant, 1957 to 2008. SCR 13 offers support and encouragement to Woodburn Chief of Police Scott Douglas Russell. And SCR 14 memorializes the life of Senior Trooper William Robert Hakeem, 1957-2008. Neither of these have an impact on fiscal revenue. Neither have an amendment. And they come to us from the Senate Committee on Rules, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Molina. We are, of course, recognizing today a very, very tragic event in our recent history, and I believe, Representative Comp, you're going to give us an overview. And I would like to thank everyone for attending today. It's much appreciated.
Madam Chair, colleagues, my name is Betty Comp. I am honored and privileged to serve House District 22. And today is one of the first times that I've spoken public about this event that happened in our district in December. And I want to speak a little bit about a couple of the people that I know personally and yet share my absolute high regard for Trooper Hakeem. But Woodburn is a diverse community, and we have many cultures and a tremendous compassion for people and accepting of difference of ways. But this event has brought our community together under really sad and trying situation. I wanted to share a little bit about the first time I met Tom Tennant. When I first became an assistant principal at Woodburn High School in 1995, we had the honor of our high school boys reaching the state playoffs for the first time in 15, 20 years. And so we had lots of crowds and we had lots of passion in our community. And as an assistant principal, I worked on crowd control. And it was also the height of our gang epidemic in our community. And so it was not uncommon for me to go up and introduce myself to the officer that was basically volunteering his time to come by our school. And Tom was there at many of those games and helped out. This is the kind of person he is. Tom Tennant and Scott Russell were not even on duty, to my knowledge, at the time when this incident happened. They stopped by just to see if they could help out. This is the kind of people we have in our community. They're constantly giving and giving beyond. Some of the things that I really, Tom Tennant is a family guy. His family was always first. He, you know, is going to be missed and is missed by that family every day, all the time. This is a man that never stopped. I think he has a lot of the pictures at his service always showed him with a mug of coffee. And maybe somebody here can reflect what the saying was on that mug of coffee. I can't remember, and I want to do it justice. But he was the guy that was always there. Scott Russell, my personal relationship with Scott Russell is one of, again, as a leader in our community. At the gentle age of 39, he became our chief of police. And he has held that position for the last 7 years. And when I'm going to tell a story on Scott that he probably wished I wouldn't, but when he first became chief, he had lots of hair. And I was a principal at that time in he would run past my office almost every day at lunchtime for conditioning and stay in shape. And when I first heard of the explosion, that's the first thing that came to my mind, was watching Scott show his leadership in a way about that we all need to take care of our health. And he frequently, on his runs, would get another one of the guys to go with him. And they jogged fairly well, but they were doing a lot of conversation and bonding also. It's those bonds that pull Woodburn together at all times, and you'll hear some of that testimony today. And last but not least is Trooper Hakeem, somebody that was trained as a naval officer at an explosion and ordnance disposal. And so then he came to our help again in our community to share his expertise, and in that sharing he lost his life. As I started out with this discussion, is what's the uniqueness of Woodburn? But what our strength is that we are a community that pulls together in good times and bad. And this tragedy has pulled our community together once again. And with that, there's many heroes in our community, and one of those is our mayor today. She's going to be talking to us briefly. But I ask for your support for these resolutions. They came to us by the way of Senator Courtney and Senator Carter, and graciously have carried this through the Senate, and would love to do the same on the House. So thank you, colleagues.
Thank you, Representative. Mayor Kathy Figley and Superintendent McLean, would you like to come up at the same time? Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the community. I'm here first to express my great appreciation for you and your Senate's colleagues' compassionate concern for our community. We are very grateful for these three concurrent resolutions, and we are particularly grateful for the life that they bring to the story of three remarkable men. The event, the last moment of two of their lives, was horrifying, it was wrong, and it was much too soon. But both men who died led 51 remarkable years, as is apparent from the resolutions, and blessedly, the third is alive and well, and in fact, I gave him a hug and a kiss on the cheek this morning at a dedication to a memorial at the bank where the incident took place, and that's a very great blessing. Tom Tennant and his wife Mary are friends of more than 20 years of mine, and Scott Russell I have known as long as he's worked for the Woodburn PD, so that's likewise about 20 years. So I want to tell the members of the community, because I think it's important, about just who you're honoring. If I were to describe Tom Tennant kind of in quick brush strokes, I could certainly say man's man and cop's cop, and that would say a lot about Tom, but it would miss the underlying point. The underlying point is this man was the poster child for Dad. If you want to give a little person who's somebody special a great dad, the model you would look for would be Tom Tennant. Tom not only loved his kids, he enjoyed his kids. He played with them, he mentored them, he coached them. He, even when they hit the rough spots in the road that all young people do, he was there with firmness, with authority, but tempered by so much love. He showed that love as well by loving his kids' mom. He and Mary were true partners, partners in values, partners in partnering, both believers in giving back to the community. You saw them so often as a couple because they cared, they gave, whether it was Love Santa, the 4th of July, the events that the KFC put on, or all the other service clubs, they would be there, they would be working. That was the type of person that Tom was and the type of person Mary is. And Tom was a real big brother, and he was an uncle, but even his family and those connections weren't enough for him. He was an uncle and a big brother to hundreds of kids through the years, through his activities with the community, with his church, and with the school. He is somebody who our community loved enormously and miss enormously. Chief Scott Russell is somebody who is on my short list of people I call brilliant. I know a lot of smart people. I'm lucky that way, but I would call Scott brilliant. He has a remarkable, far-ranging mind, and he applies that not only to law enforcement, and he does that very well, but he also applies it to his spiritual and mental and intellectual life. I wish all of you the opportunity to just sit down and talk with him sometime, because he's really an exceptional and many-sided man. He did not want to, but I prevailed upon him to serve our community for 7 months last year as city administrator. He did a great job. He was completely capable of continuing to do that, but law enforcement was his first love. If he had asked for the job of city administrator, by the way, he would have had it. I think, too, Scott is a man of enormous religious faith. I believe that sustained him during the days immediately following this disaster. And I think his beliefs and his philosophy are well worth admiring. Whether you share every single particular, it is apparent when you know Scott at all that he is someone who believes in doing as Jesus would do and serving as Jesus would serve. He's a remarkable man who I'm glad is still part of our community's lives, and I hope is only halfway through a good long life. Finally, I am so sorry I did not have the opportunity to know Bill Hakim. It is apparent both from the resolution in his honor and from the words at the memorials that he was a remarkable man who I would have liked very much. But one thing that became crystal clear again this morning, again as we dedicated the memorial at the bombing site, was as we watched the traffic, as we saw this concentrated business district, as we saw the modest retirement homes clustered so close around the site, without the services of someone like Bill, it would have been so much worse. We are eternally grateful for his service. We thank him for his service, and we will not forget him. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Tim McLean, representing the Oregon State Police and the Chief of Police Association. On behalf of Oregon law enforcement, a thank you to Senator Carter and Senate President Courtney and all Senate members who sponsored these resolutions. I'm proud and honored to be here today to voice my support for the passage of Concurrent Resolution 12, 13, and 14. Every day, members of the public safety community put their lives on the line to prevent harm and protect people. It's what we sign up for. It's what we do because we are driven by a desire to serve. Because members of the public safety community are called upon to serve in this unique role, we easily bond. We are family. I knew all three of these gentlemen. The individuals honored by the passage of these resolutions are members of the public safety family in Oregon and indeed the entire country. On December 12, 2008, two of the men honored by these resolutions, Oregon State Police Senior Trooper William Hakim and Woodburn Captain Tom Tennant, paid the ultimate price for their commitment to serve. The other, Chief Scott Russell, who was severely wounded, and he continues to serve the citizens of Woodburn. All three men were at the bank in Woodburn on that day to ensure the safety of the citizens of the community and to watch out for each other. Bill Hakim was there on a call, just doing his duty. Never thought of refusing that request for service, even though it meant delaying his plans with his family later that evening. The chief and Captain Tennant stopped by that day to check on troops. Just as was said, that's who these guys were. They were leaders. They were there to see if they could lend a hand. So on December 12, 2008, Chief Russell, Captain Tennant, and Trooper Hakim just did their jobs. Like any other day, but on this particular day, they became the victims of a cowardly criminal act. On that day, Trooper Bill Hakim and Captain Tom Tennant lost their lives. Their families and their friends will never be the same. They continue to bear this tragic loss every day. On that day, Chief Russell's life was changed forever. The lives of his family, those who love him, and those who work with him were also changed forever. So on December 12, 2008, Oregon lost two dedicated police officers, but we are thankful that Chief Russell was spared. In gratitude for Chief Russell's long career of service, in celebration of his life well lived, and with our sincere wishes for his physical and emotional recovery, and for the day he comes home, the Woodburn PD, I urge your approval of Concurrent Resolution 13. In recognition of Bill Akeem and Tom Tennant, their selfless years of service, their contributions to this state and the communities which they lived, and in celebration of their love and devotion to their families, I urge your support of Concurrent Resolution 12, 13, and 14. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much to both of you for being here and for bringing us sort of a peek into these gentlemen's lives. That was very kind of you. Are there any questions of this panel? Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To our superintendent and all law enforcement, that was a wonderful memorial that we recently had, and please extend the appreciation to DPSST for a job well done in honoring the lives and recognizing the sacrifice. And Madam Mayor, I want to say, and my background's in public safety, but I could only hope that any mayor that would ever experience a loss of the folks that serve their community could speak as eloquently as you have about the lives of these individuals. Thank you for knowing who serves your community.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you. And just a word on how the chief is doing. I did listen carefully. I'm glad to hear that he was able to attend the memorial. Is that correct?
Yes, he was able to return home this weekend. He has one major surgery ahead of him, but after that is complete, he will be able to resume serious physical therapy, begin walking with a prosthesis. He wants to be back on the job and hopes to do so by this fall.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's very good to hear. I've been kind of wondering.
And he spoke at the chief's conference, I believe, in April, and he spoke at the police memorial just a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely.
Terrific. Thank you very much for
being here today.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak to any of these resolutions? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on SCR 12, SCR 13, and SCR 14, and we will open work sessions on SCR 12. Representative Matthews.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 12 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, please.
Representative Matthews moves SCR 12, Senate Concurrent Resolution 12, to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none and having received the appropriate majority, Senate Concurrent Resolution 12 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We'll open a work session on SCR 13. Representative Cohn?
Madam Chair, I move SCR 13 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Comp moves Senate Concurrent Resolution to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, SCR 13 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'll open a work session on Senate Concurrent Resolution 14. Representative Comp?
Madam Chair, I move SCR 14 also to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Any further discussion? Is there any objection? Similarly, Senate Concurrent Resolution 14 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and I would say the heartfelt endorsement and empathy of this committee as well. Representative Comp, would you carry these resolutions?
Yes, I'd be honored.
Thank you.
And thank you to the committee.
Thank you. Okay, we will now open a work session on SB 871A. Mr. Molina.
Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you all for attending. Sorry.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm sorry about that. Senate Bill 871A authorizes the Office of Emergency Management in the Oregon Military Department to accept gifts, grants, bequests, endowments, and donations from public and private sources, including federal funds, of $250,000 or more for the purposes of strengthening security in and around facilities of the Jewish Federation of Greater Portland. It requires Oregon Military Department to adopt rules for the disbursement of monies, requires monies to be deposited in the Oregon Pre-Disaster Mitigation Fund, declares emergency effective on passage. We do have here before us before you a dash A3. The A3 just clarifies language that the grants received will amount in the aggregate to $250,000. So the key word there is aggregate.
Thank you. Committee, you will recall that we had a bit of confusion when we heard this bill for the first time around why there was a amount figure in it at all. Representative Freeman, did you have any more input on that, or were you part of that whole conversation?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was part of it a little bit.
Okay.
And what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the reason for doing this is so that there can be a list of projects that have been identified completed, and that's the amount that would be needed to complete the project. So that's sort of a target they're going for, and that's why the need for the amount continues to be in the bill rather than just a, you know, whatever you can get type of thing.
Okay. Thank you. Then that was the follow-up conversation that I understood, too, is that that is the goal, so they'd like to have an aggregate number in there. I will let the committee know it is my intention to move this bill forward. We do have a letter on file from Legislative Council, and I've spoken with the author of this letter and confirmed what I'm about to say. It suggests that because the Jewish Federation of Greater Portland is named in the bill, they feel they need to raise a awareness of potential constitutionality issues if it was ever questioned about the purpose and whether or not state funds were being moved to something for religious activities. I clarified for him, as we had heard in testimony, that the funds that are that we're talking about here are going to be used towards activities that are not religiously oriented in any way. Simply the fact that this is the ownership of a community building that invites everyone, and also the fact that that community building is in a populated area, and because they have very unfortunately become targets. These are mostly Homeland Security funds through the federal government. We simply need to recognize and authorize the Office of Emergency Management to collect them and use them for this purpose, but they are not going to religious activity. He assured me that that was understood, but it's something that needed to be on record. Is there any further discussion? We are in work session. I had not planned to take public testimony unless there are any questions raised, and we'll see if anyone can answer. Okay. Seeing none, Representative Freeman.
Thank you. I would like to move Amendment dash A3 to Senate Bill 871.
Thank you. Representative Freeman moves the dash A3 amendment to Senate Bill 871A. Any further discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 871A is amended with the dash A3 amendment. Representative Freeman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move Senate Bill 871 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Freeman moves Senate Bill 871A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Debbie, could you call the roll on this one, please?
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative
Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative
Comp?
Aye.
Representative Riley?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Excused.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Matthews?
Aye.
Chair Callen?
Aye.
Senate Bill 871A, having received the required majority as amended, is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Freeman, or would Representative Esquivel, you want to carry it? Okay. And we do have that information on file. Should any questions come up on the floor, we can address them. Thank you. We'll close the work session and open a work session on Senate Bill 618A.
Madam Chair, is there a carry for that last bill?
Escobill.
Okay, wrong chair.
No.
Sorry.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 618A exempts military discharge records from public records disclosure. It creates exception for county clerks for producing discharge papers to certain individuals who make requests in accordance with specified procedure, allows clerk to impose additional procedures, declares emergency effective on passage. We do have before you a dash A5. This A5 that we discussed previously resolves the conflicts. As you recall, we discussed this. This was the resolve, the legislative council conflict. Resolves conflicts to A and Girls Senate Bill 618 as it relates to the definition of veteran approved in Senate Bill 96. That one has been signed by the governor. It takes effect of January 1st, 2010. And you should have before you as well the A5 no revenue impact and the A5 fiscal impact. And neither of those changed.
Thank you. Do we have a representative of the County Clerks Association with us?
Georgette, Madam Chair.
Georgette, could we get either of you to come forward? I actually do have a question. Thank you. For
the record, Madam Chair, I'm Georgette Brown with the Josephine County Clerks Association.
Great, thank you.
Hi, Madam Chair, I'm Jan Coleman. I'm with the County Clerks Association. Also.
Thank you for coming, Jan. You can pull the other microphone over there so you don't have to fight over the microphone.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think that the dash A5 amendments are sort of housekeeping clarification on some veterans terminology. Part of what came up at the first hearing, and I guess what I have a question about, we have no fiscal impact reports because changing this documentation at the county level doesn't have any impact to the state government. But I do have before me an analysis of the effect and fiscal report on the county from the Oregon Association of County Clerks that there's a potential for fairly significant cost at the county level, and I wondered if one of you would like to address that.
Jan. Chair Cowan, I'll address that. I put together the fiscal with the aid of various counties.
And if you could, just for the record, identify yourself
sure.
One more time.
I'm Jan Coleman with the Oregon Association of County Clerks.
Thank you.
I'm the retired Yamhill County Clerk. yes, there is a significant fiscal. Had this bill not reached out and grabbed 192 and just been contained to 408, we probably wouldn't have such a large fiscal. But, yes, there is. Many of the counties, I believe about 31 of the 36 counties, have intermingled the discharges when they are recorded with the deed and mortgage records, et cetera. And so when it goes back to the microfilm, which that will, and where those records are contained, then in order to keep them private, we either have to close the record or they have to be basically redacted off those films and put on separate films so that they're a totally separate record. So there is a fiscal definitely to do that. Probably what most of the counties will do, as is stated in the fiscal, is they will simply keep the films private instead of out where people can research and go through them. And they will not spend the money at this point to do the redaction and the separation. Counties don't have the money.
Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, on your film, on your microfilm, or some counties have a mixture of various types of records on the same film.
Correct. Yes.
And those films typically are available for people doing research, mortgage companies, folks like that, as well as other anyone else that wants to look at that.
Yes, Chair Cowan, Representative Riley, that's correct. And those films regularly are out. You know, the public records law now says that we maintain those for people to research. We have public terminals so people can research, et cetera. And if they're intermingled, yes, that's the case.
Follow up, please.
Follow up.
So how will you handle this in the future? These particular, how will you know, first of all, which rolls of film have DD-214s, and how will you handle those rolls as differentiated from the rolls that don't have?
Chair Cowan, Representative Riley, everything is indexed. So all those records are indexed. It tells us where those are located, on which films, et cetera. So they know which ones to pull and can keep back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Other questions? I guess my bottom line question is, what I at least took away from the testimony at our initial hearing was that the County Clerks Association was in support of this bill. Is that correct, incorrect, or does it continue to be the case?
May I?
I'm throwing the question out there.
Okay. Chair and members of the committee, we basically are in favor of the bill, but since we were told that you had to have a fiscal for it to go forward, we presented a realistic fiscal as to what it could involve. And not all the counties will be doing the exact same thing. And I do want to emphasize, though, when we talked about the index, that the counties will be able to separate their indexes as far as, because most of the counties have the indexes of the DD-214 separate. So the county clerks will be able to see where the film is located and have the index, but the indexes will not be public. So that somebody that just looked at the index would not be able to know where the film was located.
Could you clarify what you mean by index? I'm not sure I followed that.
Well, all records are in an index.
Uh-huh.
So that if you go in and you look up your name, you can tell what is recorded under your name. Well, we will have, we're able to do this without too much expense. We will be able to have the index, all the DD-214s taken out of the index for the public. And so that only we would be able to see what DD-214s are in the index. So the public will not have access to that anymore.
So if Representative Riley went in and decided to pull up the index for his name, does that mean his information would be restricted from the public, or simply his DD-214?
Simply his DD-214.
Okay. So that doesn't significantly reduce public access then?
No, except for the film, because the film is intermingled, and we would have to pull the film for the public.
Chair Cowan.
Riley?
Yes, Madam Chair. I understand this bill. I have a little bit of a concern, not just for the... I worked in county government in the past and was responsible for the county clerk's office in data processing. And so I understand this. But my concern is mostly... the past records, DD-214s, and other types of records from a genealogical aspect. I know I do genealogy, and it's very important to understand, to be able to find the records of my ancestors, their military history. And DD-214 is basically the only military history that's available in county records. So I have a little bit of a problem with this from a genealogical standpoint.
Jan, I think I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. Chair Cowan, I was going to say, Originally, when the bill came out, I think the clerks were interpreting that the main fiscal to us would be the digital record, or where we were going to actually just hide the index. So that part of it, there really was not much of a fiscal, because for most of us, our vendors, when we have a legislative change, they will work and do that and not charge us for that. So that's when it originally came out, we were thinking it would be mostly that change. Since it's in 192, however, that's the public record, then it touches on the film.
So if I hear you correctly, you're saying you weren't as concerned with the initial bill, but the amended version that we have before us now poses some concerns.
That's correct. It poses more of a fiscal.
Representative Esquivel?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. Let me get this straight. I'm ABC Title Company. I have the same microfilm you have because you give it to me and you sell it to me. But now you take the index out. But couldn't I arbitrarily scroll through that microfilm and pull up anything I wanted to, including anyone's DD 214 that I ran across?
Yes. Chair Cowan, Representative Esquivel. Yes, I think that's why it was moved to 192. So, but that means we have more of a fiscal.
So, in other words, if we had passed our bill, it would have let them go into a computerized system. We wouldn't have this problem because we could sort those out very easily.
Correct.
We tried.
Is there any other? Are there any other questions, this committee? Thank you very much. We are in work session. What is the desire of the committee? Are you comfortable moving this bill?
Madam Chair, I think under the circumstances, it's a good first step. I don't think it's an ultimate answer, because I think the ultimate answer is that these county clerks have to realize that they're going to have to go to a computerized system instead of this ancient archaic microfilm that they currently use. I had a problem when I managed some title companies with I couldn't even buy parts for the film reader that read the documents themselves. I tried to get a bill through that would allow, and it was a permissive bill, allow people to, counties to go ahead and I believe it was supported by Jackson County, by I believe you all three, you as well supported that bill, and it allowed them to do it on a computer instead of this microfilm. And, you thought we were going to, burn the Bible here. I mean, people came out in arms about this, and it was awful, and it was terrible, and we couldn't do that. But the way I look at it today is what we're doing is we're waging nuclear war with a stone knife and a bearskin, and we continue to do that because we've always done it that way. But it's a good first step, but it will not cure the problem.
Thank you, Representative. Any other comments? Do I have a motion? Representative Matthews? First of all, we need to act on the dash 5.
Yes. Madam Chair, I move the dash A5 amendments to Senate Bill 618.
Representative Matthews moves the dash A5 amendment to Senate Bill 618A. Any further discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, the dash A5 amendments are approved. We have a motion on the full bill. Representative Matthews.
Madam Chair, I make a motion that we send Senate Bill 618 as amended with our dash 5 amendments to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Matthews moves Senate Bill 618A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Debbie, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Kong?
Aye.
Representative Riley?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Matthews?
Aye.
Chair Collins?
Chair votes no. Senate Bill 618A, as amended, having received the required majority, is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Anyone want to carry this bill?
I can carry the bill, Madam Chair.
Representative Matthews. Matter of explanation, I'm very concerned about privacy issues. I'm also concerned about how we accomplish them. So I don't know what the answer is.
Teamwork.
I might have a few questions on the floor now, Madam Chair.
Representative Matthews is carrying the bill. And he, by the way, the carrier of the bill has the right to not accept questions from the floor. If he so desires. With that, we will close the work session on 618A.
Is that a little kind reminder?
And open a work session on Senate Bill 556A.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 556A requires certain places of public assembly defined as a facility of 50,000 square feet or more and at least 25 individuals congregated on a normal business day to have automated external defibrillators, exempts a facility owned by a school district, education service district, private school, or public charter school. It limits liability of owner for use, attempted use, or non-use of defibrillator. There are no amendments to this. We did hear this on the 21st.
We've been practicing.
Yes, I was going to commend the administrator for his excellent explanation of and pronunciation of the word defibrillator.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for this morning. Thank you.
We did have a little tutorial this morning on that subject. Yes. The moment I am not laying my hand on the piece of paper I'm looking for, but that's okay. To the committee, there was a question raised in the initial conversation about the exemption of liability and if schools were exempt from the requirement to provide these, then would we also, would there be loss of liability if they, thank you, chose to do that? And we researched that, and under ORS 30.802, there already exists a limit for use, a limit of liability. Many schools, in the research also shows us, do in fact have these, and there's some requirement around training of the individuals who use them, but they do have that protection. So they aren't denied the protection of liability under this bill, is what I think I'm trying to say, if that answers that question. And we don't have any amendments on this one, is that correct?
No, Madam Chair.
I just wanted to make sure I hadn't missed something. Is there any further discussion on this bill? Representative Baskerville.
Yes.
Did we already make the motion?
No.
Okay,
thank you.
I'm just offering an opportunity.
Madam Chair, I don't like this bill, but since the business community came in and supported it, I guess no opposition means something, or they said it, give us a thumbs up on it. And I'll tell you, I don't think schools should be excluded. We pay for that. Schools don't. We do. I think that we have a standard here that needs to be discussed where all people that have these, if what's good for the goose, good for the gander, it doesn't matter who it is, should have these if we're going to do it. If not, nobody should be required. But it is what it is. So I'm going to give it a courtesy vote to the floor. I may vote different on the floor.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And at possible great peril, since my senator is sponsoring this, I'm probably going to vote no. And the reason is I didn't ever really get a good explanation of what facility means. We talked about it being a building, but then we talked about it being a structure or a stadium. And I'm worried about some swap meets, those type of events that go on, temporary, not temporary. It really doesn't describe all that very well. And I'm afraid that without those those interpretations or that definition in the bill, that it could get a little out of hand.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Widener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And kind of echo the other two comments. I, too, have some concerns because it's pretty broad, and there's some exclusions that we have going on here. And I worry about some of the county fairgrounds where people are coming in and just using it at certain times, and there's just a lot of places where there's a lot of gray area where they could end up having to buy these, and they don't have a lot of revenue coming in. And I would like to see us be a little more descriptive. I don't know if right now is the time for this bill. I appreciate the concept of it, but I don't think I'll be supporting it today.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be supporting this bill today. I think we heard previous testimony on this, talking about if we can save one life, it's worth it. But to respond to Representative Widener's concerns about county fairgrounds, I believe most of them have an office, and every one of my four that I've been in has an AED in the office at least. And usually during fair time, there's a medical tent or area or someplace where, and often, especially during fair time when there's a rodeo, there's always an EMT station on hand, and they all have, you know, all their vehicles and their jump boxes and everything have an AED or attached to it or inside of it. And I can't get past the thing that I think if you can save one life, it's worth it. And these are so easy to use now. And it's just, I just know that if I had a family member or myself had a problem, I would certainly want to know that someone was there with the device. Because I'll tell you, if it's more than 3 or 4 minutes, you know, of no oxygen to your brain, you don't want to live.
I would agree that, and I was pleased that the sponsors brought a device and demonstrated its ease of use. I think that that's helpful for people to actually see them. We certainly have to put the caveat on that not every cardiac emergency will respond to an AED, and they aren't going to save every life, but for the one that they do, I think that they are very important. With that, are we ready for a motion?
Madam Chair? Oh,
go ahead.
Somebody else?
No, go ahead.
I'll move Senate Bill 556A to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Matthews moves Senate Bill 556A to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Debbie, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Baskerville?
Percy, vote of yes.
Representative
Fong?
Aye. Representative Riley?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Freeman?
No.
Vice Chair Matthews?
Aye.
Chair Cowan?
Aye. Senate Bill 556A, having received the required majority, is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Committee, I would like to request the permission to suspend the rules for the purposes of allowing Representative Widener to vote on the previous motions on SCR 12, SCR 13, SCR 14, and SB 871A3. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we will reopen the work session on SCR 12. Representative Widener?
Aye.
Thank you. Close the work session and open a work session on SCR 13. Representative Widener?
Aye.
Close that one. Reopen a work session on SCR 14. Representative Widener?
Aye.
Close the work session on SCR 14 and open a work session on Senate Bill 871A3. Representative Widener?
Can I have a refresher on that one?
It authorizes the military department to receive donations of aggregate of
yes.
$250,000.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you. Close the work session on Senate Bill 871. Committee, having completed your work on all of the bills pending before us, I believe that we will not meet on Thursday. That's to allow staff time to prepare these bills for the floor, and because we're not quite ready to move into some further informational discussion, we will, however, meet as the time frame allows us. Thank you. On the Tuesday and Thursday, the first Tuesday and Thursday in June, which is before this committee actually shuts down, and my hope is to do some work to prepare us for the interim work on some of the transportation, women's health. We're going to revisit the question of the compact that we didn't quite get to this time. Some of those kind of things as we can to meet with the agency folks to sort of kind of put a work plan together. But let's recognize that that week it is possible that floor sessions will run long and 1 o'clock hearings sometimes don't take place. So at the call of the chair, I believe. And I was just reminded that we have overlooked a carrier for Senate Bill 556A. That is the AED device. Representative Boone, would you like to carry that one?
I'd be happy to. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Our business being completed. Thank you for the sticky notes. We'll close the Veterans and Emergency Services Committee. Good work. Thank you, committee.
I'm going to invite you to all speak.